This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
248-539-9797. That is the telephone number. Let's go to Pedro. You're a 97 on the ticket.
Yeah, so one of my thoughts for the NBA, and it literally would never happen, but I feel like the NBA is the only league where you have a professional athletes not trying, right? How many times do you watch a game and you feel like these guys aren't even putting their best effort forward? So imagine if you set a fully guaranteeing contracts, it's like NFL-style contracts. It's half guaranteed or whatever it is. Guess what? You actually have to show up every night and try hard, or you'll get cut and you'll lose that contract.
Yeah, I get that. I think it's more of a perception that they're not trying. Do they give 100% every single possession? Probably not.
Well, then you're not trying.
Well, I mean,
you're still trying. Yeah. I mean, you're not trying as much. Okay, put it that way.
So then you're not trying.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean,
sit there and parse. There's a try level, a compete level. Sometimes a compete
level.
Yeah,
you either compete and try to win, or you just try and get through things, which means to me you're not trying.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, imagine NFL. Imagine if a player like Jimmy Butler did that in the NFL. What would happen? He'd be cut instantly, right? You can't act that way in the NFL. You'll just get cut, right? You can't have – how many times you put an NBA guy and you watch guys walking back on defense or not – or no, there's no help side rotation. The guy just watches the guy go to the basket untouched.
I know.
I mean, there's just a lot of that.
I agree.
Uh-huh. It's hard to watch.
Thanks for the call, Pedro. 248-539-9797.
Stoney, in the preseason, one of the reasons I said the Pistons could make the playoffs or be better at least, not maybe, I didn't say playoffs, but be better, win double amount of games, was simply by trying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't see it for what it is, you're just not seeing the truth. These guys are mailing it in half, like some of the nights. Friends jokingly have been using the word NBA mail-in for 10 plus years. I told you guys a little while ago off the air, I was like, maybe this is a product of David Stern no longer being the commissioner, because I have a tough time seeing David Stern put up with this kind of NBA. Anytime the integrity of the game was starting to get a little weird with the NBA, he would always step in and make the necessary changes. And maybe Adam Silver's just too much of a player's commissioner. We had the opinion just a little while ago about the too many games.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing this amount of games in the NBA since I can remember watching the game, 82. The amount of games isn't the problem.
No, it's not.
And if you take away the game total, it's not just the gate you're affecting. You're affecting the TV deal.
Right.
What's so funny? John's smiling because he's looking at his screen.
It's the voices in my head. It's best if I don't share. Trust me. We'll get there.
Is Portis talking to you again?
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. Come on, everybody has an internal voice.
Let's go to Tom. You're on 97 on the ticket.
Hey. So, hey, I'm thinking the shot clock, keep it the shot clock, but make a three-point shot clock. You get the first half. You get the, 24 seconds. So you get the first 12 seconds, you got to put the three-pointer up. That'll speed up, if you want to make it that three-pointer, put it up. If not, now the ball's got to move around and, they got to play.
So you can shoot a three in the first 12 seconds. In the second 12 seconds, you can only shoot for two?
You can shoot anywhere you want, but it's only going to count for two.
Oh, so if they shoot behind the line, it only counts as two.
But see,
that's intriguing.
No, but
it's crazy, but it's intriguing.
I disagree. I think it should be the other way around. I don't want guys shooting from 3 too early.
No, they'll hold it all. They'll play the same way they play now. They know they're going to do a 3-4, they'll dick around or mess around for, you know, the whole time, and then they'll, you know, they'll get it to the guy that's does their threes. If you do it in the first half, you're going to force them to put it up, and then if they miss, which, you know, 60% of the time you miss, it forces them to play basketball.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting.
I've also heard somebody say, well, maybe you should make like the dunk worth 4 points. Then you'd have more people going.
Yeah, because 4 is worth more than 3.
Right, exactly. So you'd have more, you know, action down low.
Could.
Like it used to be. Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. I think it's terrible.
I do too.
it makes no sense. Rushing shots already, and now how many rush shots are there going to be?
Oh, with his idea about
the first 12 seconds.
It made no sense to me. If you're going to do it like that, you do it later in the shot clock, right?
And then your idea would be like you get discrimination lawsuits because short people wouldn't be allowed to play in the game.
Yeah, they can't dunk.
Like Colin. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
What springs in his shoes?
248-539-9797. All right. Well, let's get into important issues.
Yes.
Like the Detroit Tigers. There may be.
Yes. You mentioned the Javi Baez controversy. And No, it's not. Is he on the roster? Is he healthy? Can he swing at strikes? All of those things are great topics. But there was an issue that was brought up. I believe it was yesterday. And it was in the parking lot. And it was Gleyber Torres got to the ballpark first, and he parked his Lamborghini Huracan. I'm going to test your Italian.
Yeah.
Huracan. What do you think that stands for? Or what's the translation into English? Come on, Stoney. This one's on a T for you.
Hurricane?
Thank you, Heather.
I'll fill in the blank, I'm guessing. Okay.
I was trying to think of some kind of car reference.
Hurricane.
Okay.
Hurricane. I have no idea, but it kind of feels like it is. Oh, okay. And so the next one, Javi Baez, shows up in his Lamborghini Urus. I'm not sure. Stoney, please translate.
A horse. Horse.
I did not think that we were going to say horse.
But by the way,
why I was laughing a minute ago, because I knew I was going to ask that question.
Before Torres drove his Lamborghini into the parking lot, he got into an accident with his other Lamborghini.
Right. So anyway, we've got Lamborghini on Lamborghini crime, but it's the point is, the story I want to get to is when Gleyber Torres parked. He parked in the unofficial official spot of Javi Baez. So he was just there first. The only marked parking spots are for AJ Hinch and for Scott Harris. Now, I'm sure there's maybe one or two others.
Yeah, I think Jeff Greenberg.
Yeah, maybe has a marked spot.
Chris Ellich, when he's there, does he have a spot?
I would assume so, yeah. Yeah. So they would be all of his. Right. So he could park wherever he wants.
Yes.
But... the question is...
Now, you said unofficial official.
Right, so no one else is marked. Like, where I parked is not my official spot.
Right.
But it is my unofficial spot because it's where I park every damn day.
Yeah, because you're the first one who gets there. If you came, if you got here at 10 o'clock, that spot probably would be taken.
Well, there are times when I show up and somebody has left their car here overnight or they, you know, somebody, you know,
right.
Somebody who doesn't know any better
right.
parks in your spot.
Right.
And it really makes me mad.
Why would it make you mad?
Because it's my spot.
Who cares?
It's where I park every single day.
Okay, and it's one thing if your spot was taken, your unofficial spot was taken, and you had to park like around behind the building or something. But if for some reason that spot is taken, you can park. Three spots away. What's the big deal?
I will park next to it, and if that spot is open where on the driver's side door, my truck will be parked inches from your door. Because just to send the message that you weren't supposed to park there. Park somewhere else. There's a number of other spots you could park. And so I'm curious, does anyone out there have the unofficial parking spot that you park in every single day? And they might as well put a sign on it that says... Jansen Park's here, or Stony Park's here, or this is Park's here.
Yes.
And what do you do when somebody shows up and somebody's in your spot?
I kind of understand where you're coming from.
Thank you.
Because
Heather.
I have a spot that I always park in. But lately, I mean, within the last year,
yeah,
somebody has parks in my spot.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know who it is. Oh. Obviously, they're here very early, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not always here. Because, or they're here, but they don't always park in that spot.
It must be a salesperson who's not here Monday or Friday.
So I don't know who it is, but at first I was like, how dare you park in my spot? That is my spot. But then I'm like, there's a spot literally right next to it. I'll just park in that
spot. Yeah.
And now
so
I
it's
don't
a
really
legitimate
care,
emotion,
but,
right?
But I do understand, because I had that same feeling. Was like, wait a minute.
I appreciate you validating my emotions.
Well, I have an unofficial spot, too, but I don't care if somebody's in it.
No, I mean, and ultimately,
so you pull in the parking lot, right, and somebody's in your spot that you normally park in. It's not your spot, but you normally park there.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and go, damn it. Somebody's in my spot.
No, I'll park in the next spot. As long as I try not to park next to you, because I know, God forbid, if somebody parks too close to you, you'd be pissed.
If you park too close to me, I don't care.
Okay.
He's just going to door ding you. That's okay.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll just park in another spot. It's not
that brand new, shiny car you have.
That's
you park next to me. Yeah, you might have a ding in it.
Yeah. No, who cares? It's a parking spot.
I think it matters.
It's like the people who drive around malls for Christmas for like 20 minutes to find a spot close to the door.
Things can get vicious out there during the holidays with parking.
Oh, certainly can. Yes.
I've witnessed some.
Like I say, I would understand it if there was no other spots around, but especially when we're here, John. I mean, God, you got more spots. You open up a store called Spots R Us. I mean, there's so many of them.
There are. But there's only one that's mine.
Why do you choose that spot? Like, why did that spot become the spot that you enjoy? Like,
because
it's not the closest spot to the door.
No.
It's like in the middle of a row, right? Like it's...
Right. It's well, it's three from the end.
Yes.
I park in the third spot.
But yeah, what
why?
Made you choose
what
that one?
Me?
Why?
I don't know. Before we had our windows frosted, I could see my truck.
Yes.
So I'm getting...
I do enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can remote start it from here. So
that's
that
true.
This time of the year, it's nice and warm. I don't know really why I picked that spot. It's just where I started parking. And I've parked there now for as many days as years as I've been here.
All right, 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Do you get mad when your unofficial spot is taken? And coming up at 9:35, some breaking news about the New York Yankees. 97 won the ticket.
Hey, when the game tips off, the NBA action is just beginning on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Now, right now, FanDuel is your home for NBA live betting. So even if you miss the first few minutes, you miss that tip off and you want to get in on the action, you can bet fourth quarter comebacks. You can make your picks for who's going to have the first whistle until the final buzzer. It's all open to you. Plus, you can even combine your bets, live bets, into a same game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join. New FanDuel customers get started with $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for your shot at $150 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Connor McDavid. Game-winning goal, tournament-winning goal, and he'll get in his own unofficial parking spot in Edmonton now. All right, let's go through the text quick before we go to the phones on this. Illuminating subject. Because what happened was, if you're just joining us, Javi Baez was a little miffed. Not, I mean, I'm being sarcastic, that Gleyber Torres parked in Javi's unofficial official parking spot. Like, it doesn't have his name. And John has a place here at the Odyssey compound where he always parks, but it's not his spot.
Right.
But he thinks it's his spot. And if somebody would park in that spot before he gets here, he gets pissed. All right, here we go. Here's the ticket text.
And you park really close so they can't get into their car.
Mm-hmm. Most times.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, here we go. John, that's pretty petty. Such a white people problem. I'm so glad I'm not taking any shrapnel for this. This is really stupid.
It was a great take. I'm just saying it's my take.
Gotta say, I didn't see John as a parking lot a-hole. Nobody should be taking Javi's spot. That's from Jamar in Westland. The sense of entitlement over a parking spot is what's wrong with our society. If your name is not on it, it's not yours. Get over it. That's from Kevin in Oxford. Wow, Jansen is a huge douche. LOL. John, I understand going, he's in my spot, but to be petty and park inches from their door? Come on, man. It's Chad in a car. First come, first serve. Don't be a baby. Park elsewhere. Bill and Celine.
I do park elsewhere.
Nobody cares where you millionaires park. Move on. Oh, he might be talking about
I
that. Wish.
I think he's talking about you too.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Javi.
Yeah.
Not talking about me.
Yeah. I wish.
Typical Michigan elitist attitude. Oh, no, you parked in my spot now. I'm going to park where you can't. You can't even get into your own car. By the way, John does have his own official spot at Schembechler Hall.
Outside. I do. Yes, you do. Yes, it's a name spot.
I know.
Yes, yes. I had somebody park in my spot there, and so I just park parallel to them in front.
Well, maybe their name is John Jansen.
That would be awesome. I've never met anybody with the exact same name. I would like to.
Well, somebody texted in yesterday when we were talking about Ron.
Jansen's.
Steve from Adam, it's Madison Heights, Texan. I would have figured that John would park in the seventh row, seven spots to be in his spot for his 77.
You know what? Well, we don't have seven rows. I'll actually have to count. Maybe subconsciously, I parked in the seventh spot.
Guys, where does Costa park that toy car on the curb?
Sidewalk.
You all sound very pompous and entitled regarding parking spots. Not me. I park anywhere. Who gives a crap where you park?
I mean, I think we all will park anywhere, but I have had that thought too. Like, who is this?
Yes, thank you.
I mean, not serious. Like, jokingly, like, whose car is this?
How dare they?
Yeah, how dare they?
Yes.
Trust me, I know it's not a labeled spot.
All I know is if Lisa Ruby or what's your other daughter's name? Not Ellie.
Ruby, Lucy, Ellie. Ellie has a permit. She can start parking.
Yes. And Lisa.
Yeah, and Lisa, yeah. She gets to park in the garage.
If they happen to park in your spot, God.
Oh, well, trust me. I would not park in Lisa's spot.
Yeah. Mike, you're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So mine's kind of a reverse thing, and I got to tell the producer the one thing. So I inherited my dad's big red truck after he passed away, and it was a Silverado Z71. Mm-hmm. Really nice. Okay. Anyway, my immediate supervisor, who never calls in, had called in, right? And I was the next person to show up. I knew he wasn't going to be there, so I parked in his spot. Anyway, this lady... who wasn't an English-speaking woman. She veered off the road in, like, snowy weather, happened to miss, like, trees, you know, a double row of pine trees, and slammed into my pickup at about 45 miles an hour and punched a hole in our building because of how hard she hit it. And so that's what you get for parking in somebody's spot, I guess.
Yeah, you got your truck T-boned?
Jeez.
Oh, it got more than T-boned. It got, like, sent into the, you know, into the building, and they worked in a warehouse.
Holy
And
cow.
We work in a cooler.
Wow.
So if it wasn't there, the lady would have cut right through the, you know, because my car, it was stationary, punched a huge hole in the, you know, in the, not the brick, but the, you know, the...
The building. Yeah. 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 So you sacrificed, for the good of the company. You actually saved them.
Yes. By the way, I don't think it was necessary to say the lady couldn't speak English.
No.
What the hell did that have to do with the story? All right, we'll take a few more of your calls coming up after Heather.
There's a Michigan man and a Lions fan that says a scratch-off lottery ticket helped him cope with the Lions' playoff loss because he bought this scratch-off ticket the day of the game, and he won $500,000.
Yeah.
So he's all depressed, right? Not doing well after the game.
Yeah.
Scanned the ticket, saw that he actually did win a nice chunk of money, and he says that it took some of the sting away.
Some of the sting, a lot of the sting away.
Yeah. So congrats to him. Kim Kardashian tried to post a picture of a death row inmate that she's helping, but she posted a picture of another guy with the same name, and now he's suing her, right? So according to the lawsuit, she's being sued by Ivan Cantu. He's a project manager from New York who she identified as this man awaiting the death penalty in a Texas prison cell. And after she posted his picture, he says he's been subject to, you know, public embarrassment, shame, ridicule, disgrace. You know, he's lost sleep. He's had nightmares, headaches. His reputation has been hurt, and he is suing her. And now he is going after her money. And I can understand why.
Because she made a mistake. I mean, it wasn't like a malicious thing.
No, right? It wasn't. But she has millions and millions of followers. And you post a picture of this guy's face saying,
I get it.
Whatever he did, and he's in prison for this. Yep. Even though she was trying to help this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, also, she's got a ton of money. So I get why he is doing this, right?
I know why. Yeah.
Another celebrity being sued, Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
He's being sued by his ex-girlfriend because their son, Weston, allegedly beat her up. So Weston is accused of brutally attacking his mother last April. She's suing him already for assault, battery, infliction of emotional distress, like all those things, right? But she's also suing Nick for enabling his son. Their son.
How old is his son?
34. Yeah. A grown adult, right? Yeah. A grown man.
How did he enable her?
So she says that instead of getting him help, because he's had addiction problems, mental health issues, he bails him out of jail, goes and has drinks with him, bought him a house right next door to his, and is basically like, aiding in his reckless lifestyle. So she is seeking damages from both of them. Nicolas Cage's attorney is basically saying this is absurd and frivolous, but she's doing it anyway. So good luck to her. Three very pricey vehicles that belong to Carson Beck, new Miami quarterback, and his girlfriend.
University.
Yeah. Yes. Quarterback.
Not the Dolphins.
And no. And his girlfriend were stolen in South Florida on Wednesday. When I say pricey, very pricey, right? So his Mercedes and his Lamborghini, both stolen. Her SUV, I don't know what kind she
drove. Probably parked in the wrong spot.
Yeah, maybe it was parked in an official, unofficial spot. Yeah. Her car has been recovered, but police are still searching for both of his vehicles and obviously who stole them and why they stole them. And is it connected to any of these gangs that have been targeting high-profile athletes? So.
I know.
You never know.
Those guys have been arrested. They
have.
The Chileans, right?
Yes, they have. They have been arrested. Yeah, then they posted selfies of themselves with all of the goods they stole. Like, criminals are dumb.
Yes, they are.
So there you go. Delta is giving or offering $30,000 for every passenger who was on that flight that flipped over and crashed at the Toronto airport. They say this is just like a goodwill gesture. There's no strings attached to any of this. It won't affect any of the passengers' rights. And I mean, good for them. I don't know if they're just hoping this money will avoid lawsuits or whatever could come, but good for them. Also, good news is that everyone who was on that plane and anyone who was injured and hospitalized is home. So nobody remains in the hospital anymore, which is great. Finally, the next James Bond could be chosen maybe by Jeff Bezos. Yeah, so Amazon just made a deal to take over like creative control of the James Bond franchise. And Bezos posted a screenshot of the story on Instagram along with the caption, "Who'd you pick as the next Bond?" And I mean, technically, it is his company. I mean, so he could choose.
Could choose, yeah.
He could have a big say in it. The next installment is probably years away. So we got some time to think about it, or he does.
He'll own it until Elon buys him out.
Maybe.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe he'll make himself
the
next Bond.
He probably would.
Probably one of the villains, because he looks like one.
Yeah. And have his kid put boogers on the desk of James Bond.
Like not to get a Trump's new one. Desk. Yeah.
Trump got rid of that desk.
Contamination. Don't want that.
All right. All right. Coming up next, we'll take more of your calls on John the PD, not program director, the parking douche. And also some breaking news.
In my defense, a couple of these calls are calling in my defense. So hold on. Okay. Don't go anywhere.
Okay. And also some breaking news concerning the New York Yankees. 97 won the ticket. The ticket. Jim Costa will be back on Monday for the Costa and PD show. That'd be Costa and Parking Douche. All right, here we go. 248-539-9797. Let's go to a phone call before we go to the text. Aubrey in Farmington Hills. What's up, Aubrey?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I like this topic. It's really kind of fun. And, John, look, brother, I'm with you.
Thank you.
If having my own parking spot, whether it's official or unofficial, makes me pompous and arrogant and a Michigan guy, count me in. I'll take that all day long. Look, I just retired a couple of months ago, and I had a spot there. Everybody knew it was my spot. When someone would take it, I would get so irritated, kind of playfully, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But in any event, a group of us had signs made that said reserve for Aubrey, reserve for Mike, reserve for whomever, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we actually put those stakes in the ground. My boss came out the next day and said, get that damn sign out of here. You know, but we truly, we had a lot of fun with it. But yes, I did get irritated when someone took my spot because they all knew it was mine.
Right. It's a matter of respect in regards to if they knew it was yours. It's also, I mean, seniority too, right? You've been there long enough. You probably deserve your own spot.
I think so. It's an unofficial perk, John.
But, yep. But congratulations on your retirement.
Yes, indeed. But if everybody knows, that's one thing, but everybody in this building doesn't know.
Correct. Yes. But I mean, Gator has commented on before. I mean, he's talked about me backing in all the time. So he obviously sees that. Right. And he knows where I park every time. He's I'm never going to be here at 5:30 in the morning.
No. We barely here at 9:30
might be a bit of a stretch. Yeah.
Here's some ticket decks. Stoney doesn't have to worry about parking. Jeeves drops him off and opens the limo door for him. Love that old bit. Parking spot Nazi is a white people thing. White people love to get flabbergasted over little things. I didn't think we're going to go play the racial card here, but hey, whatever.
Since they're talking about me, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. John is going to be in Heather's dream for the wrong reason. Can car spot envy?
I don't think so. Yeah,
I don't think
so. I haven't risen to that level
no.
yet. Yes.
If they take up all the spots, Harvey, meaning Javi, can just drive around the lot all season.
Looking for a place to park? Yeah. Missed the first pitch. Yep.
John, I drive a beater. Park real close to me. You'll have the dents. I'll have the smile. Mike from South Carolina.
All right.
If your name is not on the parking spot, it's open to the public, so it's not your spot, John.
Well, we don't have a whole lot of public showing up.
That's true. I am in sales. I park in a terrible spot every day because it was always open. A new guy started parking there. My sales dropped, told him to stop, and I need the terrible spot back. Sales are back on track. That's from Jordan.
Kind of does affect your day, yeah. a little bit mindset. I mentioned it the last couple of days, right? I was driving Ruby's car because mine was in the shop getting serviced.
Yeah.
And it threw me off. Like, it's just, okay, I get it. It's a stupid reason, mm-hmm. but I'm a very much a creature of habit.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I'm not picking the best parking spot. If I was taking the best parking spot that there is in this lot, which I don't even know what that one would be, you know, then I could say, you know, yeah, fine, park there. I don't care. But it's not. It's just a random spot far away from the door.
It amazes me, though, that if that truck out there right now was one spot over, that your day could be affected.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, well, it doesn't affect it completely. Like, I will still move on.
Eventually,
yes.
Being Tony, professional,
famous words of a former sports media personality in this town. There's a little bit of Denny McClain in all of us. We have finally found the one with John Jansen.
Yes.
Yeah. You have universally been shredded on ticket text for this. I've never seen such a one-sided against your opinion on something.
Okay. Because it's indefensible.
We all have our triggers. We all have our things about us.
But, so in my defense, all right, in my previous life as an NFL player, we all had our unofficial spots on the team that we would park. And mine was always the very back spot of the parking lot because I just knew nobody would park there and I didn't care to walk, whatever. I also when I came to the Lions, they give you a little key fob to get back there in the parking lot. Nothing was marked. It, you know, it wasn't official. When I parked, I actually went in and I said, hey, if I parked in anybody's spot, let me know. I'll move. Because I do know that guys are a creature of habit for whatever reason. And I didn't park in, you know, come to be, I parked in no one's spot. But there are individuals that have spots that they traditionally and historically and out of habit park in.
You didn't park in Jim Schwartz's spot?
No, I believe the coaches had labeled spots.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I get it.
I would park in Spurrier's spot every once in a while just because it was so much fun. Did I ever tell you about the hotel keys?
I don't think so.
Okay. So we would go to the hotel the night before the game.
Right.
Completely off topic. But when we would arrive, there was always, and they still do this, when you arrive at the hotel, your keys are in an envelope with your name on it, and there's a table that mm-hmm. you put them on. And so what we would do, me and some of my buddies, would go in and we would take all the rookies' keys, right? So they would, okay, stupid, I get it. It was funny to us, well, still kind of funny to me, so that they would have to then go to the front desk every single time. It was an inconvenience for them, a minor inconvenience, but still there. And so we would do it for Spurrier. And what was funny about doing it for Spurrier is he would walk in and he would be shocked every time that his key wasn't there. So we would be hiding around the corner as four-year-olds would do. And we would listen to him go through this rant every time. Why do they take my key? I just don't see why it's that funny. And his assistant would be standing there and he would be holding back laughs too. And he would be like, Coach, when you react like this, this is why they think it's funny.
Right.
I just don't understand. Why did they take my key? Spurrier was a dork. So yes, that's that. All of those give you a little bit of background as to why I do some of the things I do.
All right, that's not an option. Who would you rather be stuck in an elevator with, Steve Spurrier or Clinton Portis?
As long as there's a break on the elevator, Clinton Portis.
Okay.
I can have my time.
I mentioned there's some breaking news about the New York Yankees, and you know, they're a very traditional franchise, and they're breaking away from their tradition. This is a statement from Yankees managing general partner Hal Steinbrenner, and I'm just going to read what it says. In recent weeks, I have spoken to a large number of former and current Yankees spanning several eras to elicit their perspectives on our longstanding facial hair and grooming policy, and I appreciate their earnest and varied feedback. These most recent conversations are an extension of ongoing internal dialogue that dates back several years. Ultimately, the final decision rests with me. And after great consideration, we will be amending our expectations to allow our players and uniformed personnel to have well-groomed beards moving forward. It is the appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy.
Okay.
Maybe that'll help them get some more free agents. I don't know.
They don't get enough of them?
I know. Because like their last free agent that they signed this year, the reliever Williams from Milwaukee, who had a beard, he shaved. I've never heard of anybody saying, you know, I'm not going to go to the Yankees because of this.
No.
Or you never heard of anybody like putting up a major public stink about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really antiquated. And I'm an old school guy, so like, would it be cool? It's like, it's ridiculous. Their policy. I'm glad, you know.
Well, you think it's ridiculous. They didn't at the time.
I understand that. And they're more successful than I am. So I get. I understand that. I still think it's
ridiculous. I understood why they had it.
Why?
Well, I mean, if that's how they want their employees to represent the pinstripes, the logo, their brand. So, and they could make that decision however they want.
They can. I'm surprised.
We want them to be well-groomed. We don't want to have long hair. All of those different things are
they're allowed. I know. But I'm surprised, actually, especially that union, the most powerful union, the most powerful union in sports.
Going up against the Yankees.
Yeah, go against that policy. I mean, how can you tell our union members what they can, if they can have, you know, beards or not?
Well, it's part of their policy. You know that before you sign your contract. You don't have to sign that contract.
I understand that. Anyway. All right. 248-539-9797. That is the telephone number. Speaking of baseball.
Thanks for the clap.
I'm glad you said that, not someone else. 97 won the ticket. Congratulations to the Canadians, all their fans. 3-2 thrilling overtime victory to win the inaugural, maybe the last. We don't know the Four Nations face-off. Obviously, the Olympics will take place next year in Italy, and it'll be a little different type of hockey because they will be playing on a bigger size rink.
International rules.
So you'll probably have less hitting because the officiating is a little tighter than it is in the NHL. That's number one. Number two, like I said, you know, with extra room, that means more speed is needed. Yep. And that should be Olympic hockey. Now that, you know, the NHL players are now in it is awesome. There's a lot of great things about what we saw over the last few days. Obviously, you know, the fights in Saturday's win over Canada and last night's game was just great. You know, from, you know, Gretzky being introduced to be the, you know, Canadian honorary captain, Michael Ruzzioni wearing a Johnny Gaudreau jersey.
Yeah.
The lead-up was
awesome.
It was great. And, you know, our area was well represented. Dylan Larkin played terrific. Hollebuck, you know, Commerce Township, Michigan. Yep. They kept saying
suburb north of Detroit.
Yes. Yeah. So that was really good, and there were other players as well. So yeah,
that's one of the success. Cooler things that they did. I think they did a really nice job on both sides. But they would talk about one. They would mention the NHL team they were on. They would also mention the hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was really cool. Yeah. And you know, so many guys from the Boston area.
Yes.
They mentioned we're playing, you know, near home or playing, you know, they played at Boston, you know, University or UMass, whatever. I thought it was just really cool to hear the hometowns of all the players.
Yeah. And I was looking like Hollebuck, but people don't realize, you know, and he went to Wild Lake Northern. He really didn't develop till like later, and he got a scholarship after playing like some sort of, you know, sub junior or whatever it was. I don't know. I forget exactly where it was, but he ended up getting a scholarship to University of Massachusetts Lowell, not their main campus.
Right.
They have a pretty good hockey program, and he really started to blossom, and he was drafted by Winnipeg in the fifth round, and he'll probably win the Vezina Trophy again this year. He's incredible.
How about that first goal scored on him, though? He had no chance to see that.
There was what a screen.
Well, there were like four people that moved.
First, I thought it deflected off. I forget if it was Brady or one of the Kachucks, but it didn't. It went straight in. But and the other goal he gave up. What a shot by Bennett.
Yeah,
I mean that's going to be interesting because Bennett, you know, is a feisty guy and he's a teammate of Kachuk, Matthew Kachuk, for the Florida Panthers. It's going to be interesting to see also what Matthew Kachuk's injury is, was, whatever, because he didn't play after the second period.
Will he be out? How long will he be out?
Mm-hmm. So it was great. Tigers begin Grapefruit League play tomorrow against the Philadelphia Phillies. What do you think about this team, like going into spring training, going into the Grapefruit League? Nobody thought they would do what they did last year once the season. I mean, a lot of people thought they were going to be better before the season. And then when we saw how that season progressed, it was awful. And then the amazing, you know, comeback where they won, they finished 33-11, I think it was, right?
Yeah. I think, honestly, if they don't have the big gaps in offense where, you know, Jack Flaherty goes out there and he loses a 1-0 game. Right? I mean, how many times did we see that? He pitched in front of his mom, right, and got the first 13 batters out, right, and then all of a sudden, you know, they lose 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe if there can be some – it doesn't have to be great offense, and I don't think they're going to take some huge step. It's not like Colt Keith is going to go from, you know, what was he last year, 260, 265. It's not like he's going to be hitting 320.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Jace Young and Parker Meadows. Like, I expect a lot of these guys to be better. But I'm hoping that there's not big gaps of, hey, it's a 10-game slump for Parker Meadows. And when does he come out of it? And it's at the same time as a slump by Cole Keith. And then there's an explosion for 2 weeks, but then there's a slump. Like, that's where I want to just see some consistency in the bats.
Yeah. I mean, look, if the bats improve and the pitching just remains what it was last year for the most part, before
and it could
the
actually
injuries,
be better.
Yeah, it could. Then they should make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs going into the season, and they don't even have to win the division. If they don't make the playoffs,
disappointment.
It's a disappointment. Failure, yeah, maybe, but it's major, major disappointment. I would say failure. And I don't think, you know, last year has anything to do with how I feel, because I still believe they played great towards the end, but there are a lot of extenuating circumstances that
it was lightning in a bottle.
Everything went right and everything went wrong for Minnesota, which, you know, some people say that doesn't matter because, you know, but it did. It did matter. If they would have played 500 ball, they would have won going away or, you know, whatever. They would have made the playoffs ahead of the Tigers. But I think it's going to be a very fun season. And I don't think they're done yet. I think there's going to be a bat out there that they're going to acquire, whether it's, you know, through trade or still somebody like, I don't know, I think J.D. Martinez is
available. J.D. Martinez is available. I mean, it's just a matter right now of can they add a bat? It doesn't have to, we focused so much on third base.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a third baseman.